Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, March 26, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We are in the great passage on the contrastive parallelism of Romans 5, 14 to 21. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 14. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's sin. Who, Adam, is a type of the one who was destined to come, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 14, we have a very important word that sets everything up for this paragraph. And that is the Greek word tupos. T-U-P-O-S. It's translated type, and it means that there is a relationship between the first Adam. He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam. So while the first Adam was created perfect, and the last Adam was born perfect, the synonymous parallelism ends right there. The objective, however, of Romans 5, 14 to 21 is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. By contrast, Jesus Christ is the head of the redeemed race, since he is the source of their redemption. So in Romans 5, verses 14 to 21, the passage we are exegeting and studying, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam, resulting in spiritual death, with the obedience of the last Adam, resulting in salvation and justification. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. Now, both the first and last Adam, they both, true humanity, they both had a volition, they both had a free will. The first Adam chose to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability and qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death, while the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. Now, neither the first Adam nor the last Adam started with a sin nature. The first Adam was created perfect from the hand of Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the universe, heavens and earth, and man. The first Adam was created perfect with no sin nature. The last Adam was born perfect with no sin nature. And this was made possible by the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied that in great detail. Now, in verse 15, we begin the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 sounds like this. But the grace gift, charisma, in fact stands in contrast to the transgression, paroptoma. For if by means of the transgression, Adam's original sin, the transgression of the one, Adam, the many, all mankind died, spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, the universality of spiritual death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by means of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, superabound to the many. Well, the contrast here starts out with charisma and paroptoma. Paroptoma, P-A-R-A-P-T, long O-M-A. Paroptoma is often translated transgression, and it refers to sin, although the main word for sin in the Greek is hamartia. Paroptoma means the transgression or the sin. And the paroptoma belongs to the first Adam. In contrast to that, we have charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. And charisma means grace gift. And the charisma belongs to the last Adam. So the paroptoma belongs to the first Adam, the transgression. The charisma, the grace gift, belongs to the last Adam. The first Adam brought condemnation to the entire human race, while the last Adam makes salvation available to the entire human race. One man, the first Adam, brought condemnation to all mankind, while one man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes salvation available to all mankind. But it must be appropriated by faith in Jesus Christ. Because of the first Adam, the justice of God condemns man, Romans 5:12. But because of the last Adam, the justice of God provides the grace gift of eternal salvation to anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. While the human race is physically born in the first Adam, those who appropriate the grace gift of Christ by faith in Jesus Christ are born again in Christ. And in verse 15 it says, much more did the grace of God and the gift by means of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, superabound to the many. That's a very, very important phrase. Superabound to the many. The verb to superabound, periselvo. Looks like that in the Greek. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-long-O. Periselvo. Periselvo means to abound, to increase, to superabound. Periselvo means something comes or is available to someone in great abundance. Eis plus the accusative plural of hoi, the hoi polloi, superabounds to the many. Who are the many? Well, you're the hoi polloi. To the ones who place their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. The gift given through the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, has not simply entered the human arena to be received by men, but it has in fact superabounded, superabounded to the many, the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. Periselvo emphasizes the superabundance of grace blessings inherent in this gift. This includes, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. You have to have the same life that God has to live with God forever in heaven. You have that gift at the moment of faith in Christ. It includes the gift of God's imputed righteousness. You have to have the righteousness of God to live with Him forever in heaven. So at the moment of faith in Christ, God imputes to you His righteousness, declaring you to be justified, vindicated. And at that point, that establishes the grace pipeline. You come to the cross, you place your faith in Jesus Christ, and at that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to each one His righteousness. Now we're encapsulated by the integrity of God. This is a pipeline of grace. As a result of having God's imputed righteousness, that opens up the grace pipeline so grace blessings can superabound, superabound to you. And those grace blessings include, at the moment of faith in Christ, salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings. Instantly, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. That in itself, just going through, and we've gone through those 40 salvation blessings again and again and again. Oh no, not again. Yes, again. There, that's much more superabounding to us. And then, that happens instantly at the moment of faith in Christ. Then, logistical grace blessing comes to you every single day. Every day, to all of you as believers in Jesus Christ. God gives you blessings to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, to sustain you and bless you so that you can make good decisions. Good decisions for what? Good decisions to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, fulfilling that mandate, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because when that happens, then God can pour down this pipeline greater grace blessings. They superabound, pericelvo, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, greater grace blessings for all eternity. And that glorifies the Lord, not glorifies. I just made a new word. I coined a new word, glorifies. You might want to keep that one, that's a good one. See, God gives the gift of pastor teacher to all kinds of idiots, see? And I'm right there, see? Greater grace blessings which glorify God forever and ever and ever. All of this is, that's one of the main, why you have His imputed righteousness. So that pericelvo, the grace blessings of God, can superabound to you. We're not here that long here on planet Earth. We're here for a while, and then we have a permanent change of station, our PCS. We go from Earth to Heaven. We don't die. Oh, you die physically, but you don't die. You live in a different place. All you do is change your address. So, physical death, you know, the body's laying there. The body sucks anyway. At least mine does. Some of yours look pretty good, but mine not doing so good. So when I die physically, I'm still living. I'm living and I'm absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm living. So we should say, he lived today. So when I go on, you just tell everybody, Pastor Olson is living today. PCS, living in heaven, not living here on earth. And don't think for a second I want to come back until Jesus Christ comes back. You can have this, all of the things going, all of the great things going on in our world. So the sin of the first Adam resulted in condemnation of the human race. But now, the grace gift of God, Jesus Christ, and His salvation work on the cross provides salvation, the gift of eternal life, justification by faith in Christ, the establishment of the grace pipeline, potential for the most phenomenal greater grace blessing. And then verse 16, we just barely got started in verse 16. In fact, the gift, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam's original sin. We've exegeted that much. Now that brings us to the next phrase. For the judgment was by one, to condemnation. We have the post-positive conjunction gar plus the affirmative particle men plus the nominative singular crema with the definite article plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of the numeral heis plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular of kata crema. So we have crema and kata crema. The post-positive conjunction gar Post-positive conjunction gar is an explanatory gar, explaining what Paul has just communicated, translated for. And then we have the affirmative particle men, used correlatively with the conjunction de. Now let me get this up here. This is the Apostle Paul and his genius. Good catch. Yeah. Might not want to play the piano till you clean it off, Daniel. Yeah. men and death. Oop, I write it in the Greek again. Anyway, it looks like that pretty much. Men and death. Now, this is classical Greek. This isn't Koine Greek. This is classical Greek. The Apostle Paul, in his tremendous genius and his understanding of classical Greek, from time to time employs classical Greek in his whatever he's teaching in whatever book it is. Here he uses classical Greek. And the way you translate this, this should be translated, on the one hand, men, but on the other hand. So on the one hand, but on the other hand. That is exactly how it should be translated. It isn't translated that way in your I have three Bibles up here. They're all translations. They're all different. And they're not the God-breathed scriptures. And so that's why I went prepared for the ministry and went to Dallas Theological Seminary and majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek, took some Aramaic because Daniel's an Aramaic, so that I could exegete and study from the God-breathed scriptures and not from a translation. So we have here men and death on the one hand, but on the other hand. That's how it should be translated. That's how we'll translate it. And then I said we have krema and katakrema. First of all, we have krema. K-R-I-M-A. Krema. A couple of things on krema. First of all, krema means the function of a judge. The function of a judge. Two, it means judging. Three, it means judgment. Four, it means judicial verdict. So it's the function of a judge, judging, judgment, judicial verdict. That's krema. Two, the judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. The judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God the Father has given all judgment to the Son. The judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, this judicial verdict came from the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is holy. We have this over and over and over again. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That word holy, nothing wrong with the word holy, just that nobody knows exactly what that means. It refers to two attributes in the essence of God. It refers to the absolute righteousness of the essence of God and the perfect justice of the essence of God. This together makes up the holiness of God. Probably be better to call it the integrity of God, the virtue of God. So this judicial verdict comes from the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Four, this judicial verdict came ex henos, by one transgression. The transgression of the first Adam. This judicial verdict came hex henos, by one transgression. Five, this was Adam's original sin. And then we have ace plus the accusative. E-I-S, ace plus the accusative. Now, ace plus the accusative can mean introducing result, a result clause. It can also be used to introduce a purpose clause, ace plus the accusative. Here, it introduces a result clause, and you translate it resulting. Ace plus the accusative, resulting in, and what is the object of the preposition? Katakrima. Resulting in katakrima. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-M-A. Katakrima. A couple of things on katakrima. One, while krima is the judicial verdict of the judge, two, katakrima is the punishment following the judicial verdict. So krima is the judicial verdict of the judge. Katakrima is the punishment following the judicial verdict. Three, therefore katakrima means punishment or condemnation. Punishment or condemnation. Four, this is carrying out the sentence of punishment. And what is that? Spiritual death. Spiritual death of mankind. We are all born physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. So corrected translations so far in verse 16. In fact, the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam, first Adam. For on the one hand, the judicial verdict came by one transgression, resulting in condemnation, spiritual death. Get that? In fact, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam's original sin. For on the one hand, the judicial verdict came by one transgression, Adam's sin, resulting in condemnation, spiritual death. Now the contrast. But, conjunction of contrast, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Well, that's the King James. It's not very clear in the King James, but a lot of things aren't clear in the King James. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of charisma with the definite article plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of the adjective polus, modifying the genitive plural of paroptoma, plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative of, this time, dikaioma. All right? So now we have de. Remember, we had, I showed you men and de on the one hand. Now we have the de, but on the other hand. But on the other hand, de is a conjunction of contrast used correlatively with the affirmative particle men, correctly translated, but on the other hand. Now we have the contrast in our contrastive parallelism. And then charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. First of all, charisma is from the very same word group as charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. That's the Greek word grace. We had a fella, he was in the Air Force and the military and stationed here for a while, and we've had a lot of wonderful men in the military who have attended Upland Bible Church. I love having them. Some of them served as deacons, but And they were great deacons. The only problem is the military moved them around. Moved them over here and over there. And some. So I, as much as I love those guys and how what a great job they did, I always had to replace them every few months. So, but this fella, believer in Jesus Christ, and positive, great positive volition, humility. He grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and they had a baby girl, and they named their baby girl Carice. And I thought, that is great. There's a great name to give to a girl, if you have a girl, Carice. And that's the Greek word grace. Grace, Carice, charisma. Two, charisma means a gracious gift, a grace gift. Three, it is a gift that is freely and graciously given. It is a gift that is freely and graciously given. Four, it refers to Operation Grace, God's grace plan of salvation. You see, God is in his very essence virtue love. And virtue love includes an unconditional category of love, impersonal love for all. And God, in his virtue love, has an unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. And that's how he designed and came up with the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. He designed Operation Grace, even though we were spiritually dead, even though we were at our absolute worst. God designed the Operation Grace, the cross, where his eternal Son would leave heaven, come to earth, take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. Deity can't die. The Son of God had to take on true humanity to go to a cross so that God the Father could gather up all of the sins of the whole human race, pour them out on Jesus Christ on the cross, and then judge them in Christ once and for all. Jesus Christ solved the world's sin problem. And by doing that, God has made salvation available to the whole human race through simply believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. So, charisma, a gift that is freely and graciously given. Four, it refers to Operation Grace, God's grace plan of salvation. Five, it refers to the grace gift of his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross. It refers to the grace gift of his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross. And then we have ek plus the genitive. Preposition ek plus the genitive. It looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ek plus the genitive is correctly translated because. Because of. And then we have the genitive plural of polus paroptima, the many transgressions, the many sins. Because of the many transgressions, because of the many sins. And then ace plus the accusative again. Once again, it introduces a result clause, and you translate it resulting in dikaioma. resulting in dikaioma. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-K-A-I, long O-M-A, dikaioma. Dikaioma is the judicial act of justification. Comes from dikaiosune, dikaiao, word group. It is the judicial act of justification. So you translate this, resulting in, it's ace plus the accusative, resulting in dikaioma, resulting in justification. So, corrected translation. But on the other hand, contrasting parallelism, but on the other hand, the gracious gift, Jesus Christ, and his salvation work on the cross was given because of many sins, many transgressions, resulting in justification. So now verses 15 and 16 sound like this. But the grace gift, charisma, in fact, stands in contrast to the paraptoma, the transgression, the sin. For if by means of the transgression, Adam's original sin, of the one, Adam, the many, all mankind, died spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, the universality of spiritual death, much more did the grace of God and the gift by means of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, superabound to the many. In fact, the gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam's original sin. For on the one hand, the judicial verdict came by one transgression resulting in condemnation, spiritual death. But, contrasting parallelism, but on the other hand, the gracious gift, Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross was given because of many sins, resulting in justification. All right, one. The first Adam committed one sin, disobedience to the mandate that Jesus Christ gave him in the garden. The first Adam committed one sin, and the entire human race came under condemnation because of that one sin. The first Adam committed one sin, and the entire human race came under condemnation because of that one sin. Two, the last Adam was judged for all the sins of mankind, making the entire human race eligible for justification. The last Adam was judged for all the sins of mankind, making the entire human race eligible for justification. Three, the first Adam sinned, resulting in the condemnation and spiritual death of the entire human race. The first Adam sinned, resulting in the condemnation and spiritual death of the entire human race. Four, the last Adam's gracious gift, his salvation work on the cross, resulted in the entire human race being eligible for justification. The last Adam's gracious gift, his salvation work on the cross, resulted in the entire human race being eligible for justification. Five, from the first Adam's sin comes condemnation. From the first Adam's sin comes condemnation. From the last Adam's grace gift comes justification. Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross to solve the world problem of sin. When we were at our worst, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the imputation of all of the world's sins to him in his body. He willingly received the judgment for those sins. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We were at our absolute worst, and he loved us with impersonal love for all. That's what impersonal love. It's an unconditional love for all. It's loving all when we're at our worst, when others are at their worst. That's impersonal love for all. And by the way, we'll bring in the divine institution of marriage for a moment. The Bible has a mandate for you husbands in marriage to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus Christ loved the church with unconditional, impersonal love for all, went to the cross when we were at our worst. He loved us with impersonal love for all. That's the mandate given to you men. That's the mandate given to you husbands. Love your wives when they are at their absolute worst. You love them with impersonal love for all. You have that. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You will clear the hurdles that you have in marriage. And marriage has hurdles. Anybody in here that's married that has never had a hurdle, stand up. Come up here so I can see what a liar looks like. Oh, we all have hurdles. How do you clear those hurdles? Impersonal love for all. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It's a slam dunk. You'll clear the hurdles and you will glorify God in the process. So from the first Adam's sin comes condemnation. From the last Adam's grace gift comes justification. All right, that brings us to verse 17. And I know you just can't wait to get into verse 17, but we're going to take a break, give you a few minutes to go out and enjoy the cool weather, and then come back.